Welcome to the Pure Flicks Podcast, a show brought to you by PureFlicks.com. PureFlicks.com, the faith, family, and fun video streaming service. Get ready for uplifting news, scripture, movie reviews, and interviews with some of your favorite actors, authors, and pastors. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Pure Flicks Podcast, part of the Edify Podcast Network. If you want more information on Edify, head over to edifi.app in your web browser. Head over to Edify in the app stores on Apple and also Android. You could download the app, listen to your favorite Christian podcasts. We are one of those podcasts. We are on the Edify Podcast Network. And I'm excited today to be here to really just bring an interview to you that I really loved doing. This is a discussion that we had with Jordan Felice. If you're not familiar with Jordan, he is a Christian singer, he's a performer, and he's phenomenal. I have always loved his music, I've loved his heart, and really, we're not going to just talk about music, though. We're going to talk about his story. How did he get where he is? What struggles does he have with fame and with life and his faith walk? And there's so much that you're going to hear that I think you'll relate to today. I know people listening, you might be struggling with family issues, with friends, with illness. There's so many things that go on in everyday life. And you add on top of that, the tensions and the chaos that we have going on in our culture. And you can get depressed. You can get sad. It's so easy to find ourselves feeling disconnected. So this interview, I really hope, will inspire you and will help you wherever you are in your faith journey. So with no further ado, let's welcome Jordan Felice to the Pure Flicks Podcast. Hey, how's it going today?
What's up, dude?
Well, I'm excited to connect with you. It's been a really long time. And you've been, like, I feel like last time we connected, you were just starting, like your career was just starting. It's been a while, and now here you are. You've got like number one hits. You're coming out with your third full studio album, right? In December, your third.
Yeah, dude. Yep, the third one.
Man, so what has I know this is like a loaded question, but what has life been like over the last couple of years, going from like starting in music to where you are right now?
Yeah, dude, it's been a wild ride. You know, the first year was probably just like sheer chaos, to be honest. And, you know, honestly, the first, like, after the first year, after 2016, 17 and 18 and 19 were, well, 17 and 18, honestly, were awful. like real bad. Mainly because, dude, you know, I know the last time we chatted, I mean, dude, I was this kid from California that felt like the Lord, like, called me to Nashville. And then, like, you know, the first song I put out goes, no, like, just massive. And, dude, I think, like, all of a sudden it was like this expectation of me was like so high, you know, the expectation of my time, the expectation of everything, like every, like the fabric of my life was just getting ripped apart. Cause, you know, it was like, I just didn't have enough time, and I'm such a people pleaser that all of a sudden it, you know, like this thing had like kind of infiltrated my home. It had infiltrated who I was.
Can I interrupt you? Because it's so interesting hearing you say this, because I think people don't know what it's like. And I would imagine there are people out there and they're like, wait a minute, like you wanted this career, you felt God calling you this, you get it, you've got this amazing career. But the pressure of that, that I think people don't realize that while you're at the height of this amazing thing, you're also struggling at the same time to cope with it.
Yeah. And I think I didn't tell anybody about it. And it was because of that. It was because of what you just said. It's like, you know, everybody was constantly telling me, man, like, I bet this is like the coolest, like you made it, you did it, you know, whatever. And I just kept telling myself, I was like, oh yeah, it's the best, you know, but like deep down inside, I was like dying, you know?
Right, right. That's so hard though, to not be able to, yeah, that's so tough. The world is looking at you and they're like, you should be, especially in the church too, right? Like you should be like praise, and not that you weren't, but like you should be praising God for this and thanking him for this. And yet you're feeling these pressures. Like, I can't imagine that.
Yeah. And I think, man, I kind of just lost myself, to be honest, dude. Like, I just really lost who I was, you know? And it's not like I, you know, I went off the deep end or, you know, whatever. It was more of just the fact, man, that I just started looking in the mirror and not really realizing like who I was anymore. You know, it was like, I started being like, man, like, what are you doing? You know, like, why are you miserable? Why are you that, well, you know, what's going on? And I started realizing, man, like, you know, I think I just started agreeing with things that were just like not from God. You know, I just started agreeing that I was a failure, agreeing that, you know, I was, you know, I had like all these things. It was just weird. I had built up all these like lies in my mind of like, oh, I'm a terrible husband. I'm a terrible father. I'm not, everybody thinks I'm so successful and it's like, I suck. Like I'm.
And it just piles up, right? Like they're a lot like the lies of the enemy. That's the term, you know, but they are, I mean, they get in your head. And I think so many people listening to this or watching this, like are feeling that. It doesn't matter what job you're in, where you are in life. But I think especially in your career or like in any career where you're in front of people in some way, I think it gets elevated even more because everyone's watching you and then you feel the pressure. And I can't speak for you, but like to kind of like suppress it or not address it. Right.
Yeah. That's it, dude. And you kind of feel like shamed if you try to handle it. Like, it's almost like there's shame in trying to figure out why you feel the way you feel because people are like, so like, wait, why are you going to therapy? Like what's wrong with you? You know what I mean? And you're like, well, I mean, you know, until you've actually like kind of sat in the shoes, you know, like you kind of don't get it. Like even because if you would have told me back in like 2015 that I would have felt the way I did in 2018, I would have been like, what's wrong with me? Like, who's that guy? You know what I mean?
Right.
But then like, you kind of get submerged in it and you just, you know, you just get lost, bro. I mean, it's just like, and I think that's why, you know, I felt like the Lord really put this new record on me. And so like, really, I mean, kind of dive into the story, like, so late last year, like the late summer of last year, I had kind of gotten through the thick of a lot of the anxiety, but I was still dealing with a lot of depression, a lot of like just feeling like down on myself and, you know, all this stuff. And I had a friend of mine who was just like, dude, I want to come and I want to pray over you. And so I was like, okay, you know, and dude, I've been raised in the church my entire life. I've been prayed for, you know, and I think there's that part in you that's like, it's your human nature. The human nature part of faith for me, which excuses that sometimes. You know, it's almost like, you're, like it's going to bring you comfort because you're going to have like this support, but like the power of prayer, you know, like in my human nature was just like, cool, man. Like, it's not like this is going to change anything.
Like you believe it in your head, but not like in your heart, almost like, you know,
exactly.
You
start making these excuses in your mind for like why it's not going to work. And I remember feeling so convicted, dude. I was so convicted while he was just driving to my house. Like, why am I feeling like this? Like, no, this could be a huge change for me. Like, you know, like that would be amazing. Like, what if like, and so he got there and he started praying over me, dude. And I'd have this happen, you know, one time before in my life where, you know, I had been prayed for healing and I'd been healed like 100% and was like, you know, it happened before, but you know, again, life starts happening.
You forget. It's like, God does these amazing things. And then like, you know, 2 months later you forget about it. Right.
Yeah, dude. And you're just kind of like, and it's just, it's silly, but it's just a part of it's a part of the fabric of being a human, you know?
Yeah.
But dude, literally he came over and he prayed for me, dude. And I'm not even kidding you, dude. Like I get goosebumps when I talk about it just because he started praying and he started just like binding stuff up in the name of Jesus. And dude, I felt like somebody was like literally like taking 20-pound, you know, dumbbells and just ripping them off my shoulders. And I was just like, like I felt like I couldn't breathe, but yet I could breathe like better than I'd been breathing like my entire life. Like it was just like this, what is happening? And dude, he finished praying, dude, and I just felt like everything was gone. Like anxiety was gone, depression was gone. It was like all of a sudden, boom, like you're a new person. Wow. And dude, I was just like, I just started weeping, bro. Like I just was crying like a child. I felt like I was like 5 years old. And like, you know that feeling like when you're young and like you fall and like you scrape your knee or your elbow or something and you're just so like offended, you know, like, you're so like emotional. And I just felt like, you know, that feeling when you just run up to your dad and your dad picks you up and he puts you up on your shoulder, on his shoulder, and you're just crying, but it feels good because like you feel like somebody's holding you and like they're, and I just felt like that. And dude, I just, ever since then, dude, it's just been gone. Like everything.
Wow.
I have not had any, like zero issues, bro. I mean, it's,
and you went through it was like a year. It was a long period of time that you were struggling. Yeah, and I want to get into the album, but I wanted to ask you, like, during that, it's amazing, first of all, what you just shared, because I think we minimize prayer so often, and like praying for other people and being there for other people in that way, right? Yeah. Like there's such a power there. Yeah. But how did you get on stage? It wasn't like 2020 when people couldn't perform as much. Like life was continuing. You had music out. Like, how did you get on stage and perform and do your job during that time? And not just your job, but like your family too. Like, how did you function?
I keep telling people, dude, I feel like those 2 years, my body was like, you know, have you seen the movie Click?
Yes. Yes.
You know how like he feels whenever he's like fast forwarding and he sees himself like just while he's like lived all this life, but then he'll go back and see, and he's just kind of like a zombie, you know? And like, you're asking him, he's like, yeah, you know, whatever. Dude, that's kind of how I felt, you know? And like being a performer, it's like I could turn it on while I'm on stage, and like obviously, you know, I know that I'm there, and I still knew my calling, you know? It's like the calling didn't disappear. So I knew I was there to encourage. I knew I was there to point people to Jesus. So I knew I could execute that. But I think that was like about all the energy I had for. You know what I mean? That was like, that was the only energy I had. And it was like, I would give it. And I mean, my wife will tell you this too. It's like, I came home and I was empty, you know? Mm. I wasn't full. I was just like a dry bowl, you know? And so, man, I think for me, you know, I think that's where a lot of my depression came from, was that on the road, I was giving so much, but then I'd come home and I wouldn't be able to like give anything to my wife or anything to my kids. It was like, I wasn't being a spiritual leader. I wasn't being any of these things, you know, but yet on the road, it's like, you're like, you know, it just felt weird, dude. It was just such a strange time. And I'm so glad to be past it. And I know my wife has seen such a huge shift in me, and I've seen a huge shift in me, my family, everybody, my crew, my team. And again, it's not like I was in like this spot where like I was just like a terrible human being. It was just I was just tired, dude. I was tired all the time. I was run down, you know. I was getting sick all the time, dude. I was sick all the time. Like there was like, I think in 18, dude, there was like maybe 3 months I was not sick.
That's crazy. And you just like run down, like if there's anything going back, like if you were to look back to 2015, right? Like if you could have given yourself advice now, because there's a lot of other people who are moving into different phases of their life, and I'm sure other artists, right? Like these are lessons you've learned that you can kind of like bestow upon young people coming in. But like if you could give yourself any advice back then, would there have been anything you would have said that would have helped you navigate some of this differently?
100%. I would have told myself that you need to learn to say the word no, and understand that that is not going to affect your career negatively. Like by saying the word no, it's actually going to save you.
Yeah.
it's going to save you. Because here's the deal. You say yes to, you know, 40 festivals during the summer. You're saying no to your family for the entire summer. You're saying no to yourself. You're saying no to, you know, you're saying yes to, oh man, my guys are so happy because they're, you know, making money and, you know, my team is thriving and, you know what, but I'm dying. Like, right. I'm dying inside. My family is dying. Like, and I, like, the moment that I learned that, like, no was the most important word in my vocabulary, and just being able to be like, hey bro, I'm so sorry, I, you know, I love you, but I'm just not going to do this because I just can't, I can't do it right now. Let's do it in 6 months, you know, let's do it. Because guess what? I'm not going to go anywhere, you know, like, I'm going to be here, like, unless the Lord takes me, and then, hey, I'm going to be in heaven. I'll see you there, you know, you know, but like really, like, there's not, it's not like I'm going to be burning bridges just by saying, hey man, I can't do this right now.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. If it is going to burn a bridge by saying no, when I've prayed about it and the Lord has told me to say no, then it's a bridge that's burnt from the opposite end. It's not from my end. It's not like I lit the fire, you know? And if somebody wants to carry that around, then that's, I can go ahead and I can live with that because I'm just following what God is calling me to do.
Can I add something to that? Cause I think what you just said is so interesting and important because I've always struggled with not saying no, like with saying no. I'm like, I have to say yes to everything because these are great opportunities. If I don't say yes, then I'm going to, but I think when we do that, we forget that, you know, first of all, we're not including God usually in that plan because we're just saying yes to everything.
Exactly.
And I think that's a huge thing I'm still working on because I fall back into that pattern again of saying yes to everything again. 100%. And I catch myself, like, 2020 was a year where I said yes. And it was, I think, most of the things I was supposed to, but there are times when I know I said yes to too many things and now I can't actually deliver what I want to deliver without sacrificing family or time. Yeah. So yeah, it's so important what you just said, that we align it with what God wants for us.
Exactly. And I also want to just add to this, just to wrap this whole idea of this thing, that, like, the, by saying yes to everything, it's actually not participating in the realm of kingdom at all.
Yeah.
Because you're participating in the realm of self. And the problem with that is that you are just looking out for yourself. And what I started realizing, dude, is actually by being a people pleaser, by saying yes to everything, I was actually being incredibly selfish.
Yeah.
Because
that's huge.
Because I was just watching out for my own, well, if I say no, then this, you know, well, by saying yes to everything, you actually destroy, like, the faith aspect of our job, which is, hey, by saying no to this, God is going to say yes to something else that is going to come back to you tenfold. It's biblical. Like, literally, he's going to say, like, when you listen, when you say, Lord, am I going to do this? Should I do this? This is on my son's birthday. Like, that feels weird. You know, oh man, this is on my anniversary. Like, should I be doing that? Like, is that robbing from my wife? Like, what am I doing? And like, if the Lord's like, yeah, bring them with you, you know? Okay, cool. That's what I'll do. No, you shouldn't do this. You need to be at home. You need to be at home with your babies. You need, this is so much more important. You're called to be a father way before you're called to be a singer or a songwriter or anything. And so that's another huge light bulb that went off for me, you know, of just like, and, you know, talking to you, hearing that, you know, it's something that you're dealing with as well. You know, the quicker that you start, you know, practicing it, the easier it becomes, you know, long-term, just because you're able to literally just see through things, you know, and say, hey, yeah, you know, this person's going to get frustrated and that's okay. You know, they're human, and I can acknowledge that I've been on that side of the coin as well. You know, I've been frustrated when somebody tells me they're not going to do something, but at the end of the day, like, if it's going to create, you know, you know, animosity between the two of us. Like, that's not my job to deal with that. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
And by trying to cater to people and destroy my own, you know, worth for what God has given me and trusted me with, I'm not actually participating in any kind of faith walk with him at all. You know, I'm just catering to humans, you know, which I still love doing. I love people more than anything. You know, I love people so much, but not at the expense of my family and not at the expense of Jesus and who he's called me to be too. So.
I love all of that. I wasn't even planning on going as deep with it, but that was such a good conversation because I feel like we all struggle with this stuff and nobody talks about, like, not enough people talk about these things. And especially people in your position. I mean, here you are, you're about to put out, as we were saying, your third album, Say It. So talk to me about the album. Like, talk to me about the music, the impetus behind it, what you're hoping people take away from this.
Yeah, dude, I'm so fired up about this thing, dude. Like, I, you know, I've never been this excited for any music in my life. We've poured like literally 2 years of like blood, sweat, and tears into this thing, man. You know, and the record is called Say It. A lot of people are like, what does Say It mean? You know, and for me, Say It is literally been this thing that I felt like the Lord has just been like in my ear the entire record process. Because I think a lot of times when we're writing these records, you know, it's all about like, what do we want to say? You know, what are we going to say? What are we going to tell the listener? You know, it's like all this stuff. And I felt this challenge that the Lord was like, you need to say the things that I'm going to tell you to say. And they're going to be things that you, maybe you don't feel comfortable saying, but I want you to say it. Mm. And I want you to say it because this record is all about the elevation of the name of Jesus. And if we're not participating in the elevation of the name of Jesus, then why are we here? Mm. Like, what were we here? What are we here for? Because I don't want to buy the lie that I'm here to just like go make some money and buy a house and buy a car and feed my family and then go be put in the dirt. And just like, there it was, there was the life lived. That's not what I'm here for, you know? And, you know, like this record is all about the fact that, man, like, you know, we go out and we chase that, you know, we go out and it's like, man, like if I could just make more money, if I could just, oh dude, if I just had this car, if I just had this house, if we could just build a little bit bigger of a house, if we could just build, oh man, if I could, you know, man, if I could get this car, but I don't want this model. I want the one that's like 100,000 more. You know what I mean? It's like always, you know, this thing, like, you know, I have to do this, you know, I have to, oh, but I can't live without these nice clothes or I can't. You know,
you're convicting me right now because I was just arguing with my wife about getting a new Peloton because I have the old Peloton, like the bike.
Bro.
And I'm like, I want the new new one. I want the screen that moves.
Yeah,
and she's like, come on. You know, so it's such human nature though, right? And fight against that.
It's a part of us, dude. And, you know, dude, I wrote this record also for myself because I was convicted for the same reasons, dude. Because honestly, there are people in our industry and there are people outside of just in my community that are driven by this stuff. You know what I mean? It's like, oh man, so-and-so just got a brand new, dude, I'm a car fanatic, you know? And like one of my really close friends got a brand new RS5, you know, which is like, you know, an RS7 is like probably one of my dream cars. And like, I just remember sitting there being like, man, like, I wish I could do that, you know? And then, you know, and dude, like I'm a huge clothing and shoe fanatic too. And so like, dude, on the cover of this record, you'll see I'm sitting on a bunch of stuff that's just trash. It's painted black and it's money. It's, you know, cars, it's jewelry, it's clothes, it's shoes, it's all this stuff because none of it matters.
We think it does. We get so consumed. Yeah. And I have to tell you, having kids is one of the best, and you would know this. I mean, my kids are getting older now. They're 8 and 5 and I'm sitting there talking to them about, and I'm doing it for me too, people who don't have anything. And I think the holidays are the best time to do that because you know, that's when we're focused on things, right? Getting gifts. And even my kids, like, they want this, they want that. But knowing that there's people who don't have anything, and then focusing on that and talking about ways, just like, you know, for us, we try to find families or people who need, because it reminds us we could be in that same position. You know, there are a lot of people right now in tough positions who a year ago never thought they would be before 100%. COVID, right? 100%. So anyway, it's just, it's, you know, not to go off on a tangent, I just think it's so important to keep that focus, and kids help with that.
100%, bro. 100%. And yeah, dude, I mean, that's really what this record's all about, man. It's all about, like, being reminded of why we're here, and you know, that all of our everything that we need is all wrapped up in our relationship with Jesus. It's not in our relationship with our, you know, personal finances or our, you know, success or the trophies we accumulate or, you know, the things we can accumulate in life. And, you know, this record is kind of like all a push to getting people back to, hey, the reminder that Jesus is our hope, man. He's our provider. He's our peace, you know, and he's all we need. And it's why we've been placed here as believers, man. It's not to go out and get all this stuff, you know, to do our life with stuff, you know, and stuff is cool, but the shine wears off pretty quick, man. Like it all of a sudden it's like, oh man, it's all I want is this car.
Then you want the next one. Then you want to trade it in and get the next one, right?
Exactly. Or I want this house, or, you know, and I use the car as example because I'm always like, what, for what? So my daughter can go spill French fries in the back seat? Like, what?
I mean, listen, I'm driving around a 2013 RAV4 because really? I'm like cheap when I love cars, but I'm super cheap when it comes to buying cars, right? But there are things I'm not, like, I want this other Peloton. Like, we all have the things, like, we all have those things where it's like,
exactly.
Right.
You've got your things that you think that you want and that you need. And it's like, man, like, we don't need anything, man. Like, we don't need stuff. We want it, you know? But you know, this record is just a reminder, man, of like the things. And I think the reason why we chose to release the record this year is because this year is a reminder of what we need. Like, absolutely. It's not what we want. It's what we need. We need our family. Like, I need my daughter. I need my son. I need my wife. I don't need my house. I don't need it. Like, if I can't get back to work next year, we're gonna have to sell our house, you know? And you know what? We've had that discussion. There's no anxiety. There's no fear behind it. It's just like, hey, this is a part of what God is gonna, it's just a part of our story, man. You know, and it's gonna suck, you know, it's not gonna be like, yay,
we're selling our house.
But at the same time, you know, we don't need it. Like, I don't need to drive the car we have. I don't need, you know, we just bought like skis right here, you know. I don't need those. I can sell those, you know. Like,
right. We get so attached to stuff. And I think, like, you know, that's been my challenge, like, through the kids, like, by teaching them to remind myself too, you know, this has been it's been a rough year. And like, for you guys too, I think people don't realize, like, musicians aren't out working the way that you guys normally do. There's an assumption that people have. You can't, right? You can't fill venues of people.
Exactly. I haven't worked since March 13th, man. I mean, like, we're just, we're stuck, bro. You know, and that's okay, you know? And honestly, we've had the time of our life, honestly, this year. It's been amazing. And yeah, there's a lot of, like, stuff that's like tough, you know? It's like, man, like, I haven't made a single, you know, penny from touring since March, you know, which is my main source of income. And somehow the Lord has kept us afloat. And honestly, he's kept us going and thriving. And that's crazy. But that's only from him, man. And like, it, again, more proof that he is our provider. It's not my job, man. It's not whatever song I'm going to write or whatever record I'm going to put out or anything like that, man. It's just who he is in my life. And
And that's huge because you stand on stages, not in 2020, but you stand in on stages, you stand in front of people, you make music, and it's a really hard job to do when people are focused on you and they're looking at you and you're focusing on him. But the fact, that's why I love talking to Christians who are in music, because I think you guys have a really unique perspective in that people are looking to you, but yet you're looking above and you're pointing people back to what matters. And that is so important. It's hard to do. It's hard to do, I would imagine, in your line of work. So that was the last thing I was going to ask you. Like, how do you stay humble when there is so much of that going on?
Yeah, community, bro. It's all about your community. I've got a band and a crew. Like my tour manager, first of all, and my manager in general. So my manager has known me since I was 17. He was in like my favorite band growing up. And he was kind of my mentor until, you know, one day we both were like, do you want to manage me? He's like, yeah, let's do it. And he's one of my best friends in the world. And then my tour manager has been touring with me since I was 17, cause we were in a metal band together. I mean, that's just phase one of the people that would punch me in the face if I didn't, if I got any cockiness in me at all. Like, I know I'd be having a stern conversation. They'd be having a stern conversation with me about how I need to change my attitude. And I think for me, dude, the other thing, dude, is we've never had to have that conversation. And it's not because I'm so humble and,
perfect. You're perfect. You're never
the best person ever. It's not because of that. It's just because, man, it's work. It's work to wake up every day, to choose salvation and to choose to say, man, like, this is not about me, you know? Mm. Like, there are people that I've seen that I can tell it's all about them, bro. It's like, whoa, wow, man. Like, cool. Like, I'm so glad you're so
happy. You're into that sort of thing. Great. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, cool, man. Like, that's fine. But like, it's also for me, dude, and I mean, this is my own qualms and stuff, but I like arrogance and entitlement are like, I don't know if you have this thing, but like for me, there are traits in humans, that like, so I'm very empathic. So I'm just this guy. But anytime I see that in somebody, so I'm really, this sounds so weird, dude. This sounds so weird.
It's 2020. Nothing can ever sound weird, right? Yeah.
So I'm super, sensitive to smells. Mm-hmm. I know it sounds weird, but like,
no, it doesn't actually. I get that.
My mom sold candles for a living. Our house always smelled like a dream, you know? And so anytime like there's a, like our dog smell, I like have to go bathe it. You know, I'm like, dude, get this out of my house, you know, whatever. And every time I see that those traits in a human, I smell something weird. It smells awful. Like I'm like, I can feel it in my sinuses. I'm like, oh, get me away from this thing. And so it makes me hyper attentive to never be like that, because I'm always like, I feel like I'm going to smell like that thing if I'm like that.
Well, look at what scripture says about it, right? Like humility is such an important thing in scripture throughout. You look at Proverbs, you look, I mean, it's so huge, and yet
massive.
So many people, to your point, I can't handle like when people just have to keep congratulating themselves, or that for me, the trade is holding other people down, like holding other people down to make sure that you are held up. That drives me crazy.
It's a form of entitlement.
It is.
I couldn't agree more, you know, like, and for me, like, I see those traits in all kinds of people, you know, whether they're in Christian music or country music or pastors or pop artists or whatever, you know, I run into people all the time. But, you know, what's funny is that ruins, more than it helps a lot of the time, you know? For some people, it wins, which is really weird. And I've been around a lot of artists where I'm like, how are you like this? And you're just winning over and over again. You know, it's like crazy. But, you know, my big thing is I would rather fail over and over again and have, you know, peace with myself that I am not going to be a jerk to a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Then be hyper successful and be, you know, a jerk to everybody.
100%. 100%. And be a truthful person, not sacrificing truth. I know a lot of people. I mean, I come from the media world. Like, I know a lot of people who are willing to sacrifice truth.
Yep.
Make money. And they've been very successful. They're very famous. And they're, and it's hard because you look at it and you're like, man, you know, but you got to go with what you know is right. And again, it goes back to that whole thing. It's like full circle. God is going to give you what is meant for you. He's going to put you on the path, and it's not about us. And so when we remember that, it takes us out of that comparison or that sort of like, man, you know, how are those people doing that? And I, you know, I'm doing the right thing and I'm not, you know, so listen, I have loved this conversation. I want to have you back again soon.
I love
it. So let me ask last thing, where can people, obviously people can get the album when it comes out in mid-December, wherever they listen to music, but where can people connect with you? Where's the best social platform out of all of them? Like the one you use the most?
Yeah. I would say the best one is Instagram. You can just search me. It's just Jordan Felice. And if you need help spelling my last name, it's just Happy in Spanish.
It's so, like Feliz Navidad, right?
Exactly.
Like,
that's it, bro.
It's the season for it.
There it is. So you can look me up there, Facebook too, YouTube.
Awesome.
But record comes out on December 18th, and I literally could not be more excited for this. I mean, dude, it's just something we put everything we have into. You know, I think it's the first project that we finished and I have felt like it's finished. You know what I mean?
That's awesome. Especially coming off of the last couple of years and everything, like being able to have that and to pour yourself into that. I appreciate you sharing everything you did, because I think people, again, are very guarded. Sometimes they don't want to share because they feel too vulnerable, and to hear you kind of take us through your story, I think it's helpful to a lot of other people. And I really appreciate it.
I'm honored to share. It's one of the things that I feel really called to. That's why we called this record Say It, man, because I'm just gonna start saying it.
You gotta start saying it. You gotta say it. I love that.
I mean, that's what we're here for, man. Like, we're not here to like sugarcoat everything and say, oh man, I just, my life looks like a Pinterest catalog. You know what I mean? Like,
because nobody's does. It's all fake. I mean, it's the highlight reel everywhere, right? And it's like that's Saturday mornings, craziness at people's houses, kids running and screaming. Like, we're not taking pictures of that. We're decorating the Christmas tree. It's like, listen, you know, life is not perfect. And I think when we're honest about that, it helps other people live their lives and not feel pressure to live up to something that isn't true.
Dude, and I think that that's a huge thing right now, dude, is like, there's this like immense pressure to have life together. And I'm trying to hold it together because I feel like I'm about to sneeze.
I was just having the same thing go on. So,
dude, like there's this thing like that's just in our world ever since social media like kind of took over, that like, oh, these, you know, bloggers and these art, like artists, you know, like, I mean, even me, like my wife feels this pressure. She's like, I always feel like, you know, we've got people in our house taking pictures and it's like, there's dishes in the sink and there's, you know, stuff from last night when we made dinner, and I'm like, babe,
like spaghetti splashes all over the cabinet, like just like life, kids.
This is real life, dude. Like, you think my 2-year-old is gonna eat spaghetti and be like perfectly? No. Like, I'm making it directly into my mouth, and there's not anything that's getting all over the floor, or all over the island, you know, or anything. It's like, if that is how your children eat, I'm concerned. I'm genuinely concerned.
Exactly. Because it's not normal.
Like, because either you're abusing them or you're running a crazy, weird thing in your house, man. Like, I mean, dude, they're kids, bro. Like, they're meant to just make messes and go, dude, go break something. You know what I mean?
We got to be real. And that's the thing. And listen, we got to do like a podcast series. I feel like we should just like tackle the problems of the world. Listen, man, I really appreciate you coming on today.
Yes, bro. Thank you so much for having me. And yeah, let's do it again. I'm for it.
This podcast is part of the Edify Podcast Network. Edify is a faith-inspiring app that brings together thousands of the best Christian podcasts in one place for your listening enjoyment. Cut through the noise and grow your faith by diving into the world's top Christian podcasts today. Download the Edify app for free from the App Store or Google Play, or by going to edify.app. That's edifi.app.
Did you know you can access thousands of entertaining and inspiring faith and family-friendly TV shows, movies, and original series? It's simple. Just log on to pureflix.com right now to start your free trial. From kids' content to some of the most uplifting films, we've got your entire family covered. Sign up today.
And that brings the PureFlix podcast to a close today. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Jordan Felice. Check out his music and really just check out everything he does because he's great. And we just need those raw and authentic and real conversations. And I appreciate him coming on today to offer that at a time when I think people need realness and truth more than ever. And so tune in next week for another episode. We'll have another great episode of the PureFlix podcast coming to you next Friday. I'll see you then.
That's all for today's podcast. You can follow PureFlix on Facebook at facebook.com/PureFlix and on Twitter at PureFlix. And be sure to log on today to PureFlix.com for thousands of faith and family-friendly movies and TV shows. Thanks for listening to the PureFlix podcast.